Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Proverbs chapter 8, verses 22 to 36. Proverbs chapter 8, verses 22 to 36. And the question we're going to answer today from this text is, where is wisdom? Where is wisdom? All right, let's read the text. Proverbs chapter 8, let's begin reading with verse 22. The Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way, before his works of old. I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning, or ever the earth was. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no fountains abounding with water. Before the mountains were settled, before the hills was I brought forth. When as yet he had not made the earth, nor the fields, nor the highest part of the dust of the world. When he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he set a compass upon the face of the depth, when he established the clouds above, when he strengthened the fountains of the deep, when he gave to the sea his decree that the waters should not pass his commandment, when he appointed the foundations of the earth, then I was by him as one brought up with him, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him, rejoicing in the habitable part of his earth, and my delights were with the sons of men. Now therefore, hearken unto me, O ye children, for blessed are they that keep my ways. Hear instruction, and be wise, and refuse it not. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. For whoso findeth me findeth life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord. But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul, and they that hate me love death. Now, this passage neatly divides into three components, or three parts. The first part being verses 22 to 26, which predate the creation of the universe. The second part being verses 27 to 31, which concern the creation of the universe. And then verses 32 to 36, which concern our relationship now to wisdom. In other words, what you and I can take from wisdom now, or what you and I can do about getting wisdom now. Now the question is, where is wisdom? And the first thing to notice when you ask that question is that wisdom predates the universe. If you're going to look for wisdom, then you're not going to be able to find wisdom in an examination of the universe. The first thing, if you're going to see it, I mean, he says, I was here from everlasting, from the beginning, or ever the earth was, when there were no depths, I was brought forth, when there were no fountains abounding with water, before the mountains were settled, before the hills brought forth, while as yet he had made not made the earth, nor the fields, nor the highest part of the dust of the world. See, wisdom predates the universe. That's something you've got to know. And the reason is, a man that tries to find wisdom by a scientific examination of the universe will come to conclusions about the universe that are false and incomplete and foolish. He can't help it because he has limited his examination to only those things that he can see. Will he find some things that are wise and that will make him wise? Sure. Will he find some things that will make him some money? Absolutely. Will he find the wisdom of God? Absolutely not. Now look at 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 20. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 20. Paul told Timothy to be careful about something. He said, O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust. Avoid profane and vain babblings, and oppositions of science, falsely so called. So, avoid oppositions of science, falsely so called. Science now is really just something that is demonstrable. And, you know, you say, okay, here's my hypothesis. I think, whatever that may be, that you can reduce the temperature of water below 32 degrees Fahrenheit and freeze it, okay? Then you go in and you put water in an ice tray cube and you put it in a freezer that is below 32 degrees Fahrenheit and it freezes. And you do it, and every time you do it, it freezes. Assuming that it's really water and doesn't have any other chemical compounds associated with it, okay? And it freezes every time. You know what you've done? You've done a scientific demonstration that every time you subject that water to something like a zero-degree freezer in your kitchen, it's going to freeze. Now, that's not science falsely so-called. That's science that is demonstrable. It shows you something. He said, beware or avoid oppositions, because a lot of science does oppose God and the words of God. And he said, oppositions of science, falsely so-called. And there's a lot of science that is falsely so-called today because it simply advances theories that cannot be proven by demonstration in a laboratory or by demonstration of the examination of the way things occur in nature. Science falsely so-called. Now, men that have examined the universe have come to the conclusion, among other things, that this world was not created by God, but that it evolved. Well, that's science, falsely so-called, and it's science that opposes the words of God. You know what you're going to come up then with? If you examine the universe with that type of science, you are going to come up with conclusions that are false, conclusions that are incomplete, and conclusions that are foolish. Look in Romans chapter 1. I'm not calling you a fool because of my judgment. I'm saying that your conclusions are foolish simply because God said so. In Romans chapter 1, verse 22, professing themselves, and I believe they call those teachers that teach these doctrines professors, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Why? They changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Where'd that happen? Verse 21 says, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. You see, I am not the one that thought of them as fools. God did. I'm simply repeating what God said. When a man is not thankful and doesn't credit the existence of the universe to God who made it, and you find that in many places in the Bible, then his imagination is vain, his foolish heart is darkened, and though he professes himself to be wise, he is a fool. He's a fool. His words to describe what he has found out may be considered by men to be wise, and he may be able, with those words, to make a lot of money. There are lots of scientists that don't believe that God created this universe and don't believe that there is any wisdom outside of the examination of the physical aspects of the universe. And therefore, we know, according to the Bible, that they're foolish, but they know in their own hearts that they are wise, and they know that they can make a lot of money with those words. Evolutionists, geologists that believe these things, scientists, professors, well, they've raked it in many cases. But their wisdom is the wisdom of man's words as opposed to the wisdom of God's words. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and look at verses 4 and 5. This is just one place. We don't have to examine them all, but this is just one place where Paul makes the distinction between the wisdom of man's words and the wisdom of God's words. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, look with me at verse 4. And my speech, this is Paul talking, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. There's certainly a difference. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. So there is a definite contrast between the wisdom of man's words and the wisdom of God's words. Now, the wisdom of man's words only goes as far as the limitations of this material universe. God's words predate the existence of this material universe. They're everlasting. I was set up, verse 23 says, from everlasting, from the beginning, or ever the earth was. Way beyond, eternal, everlasting. Now notice, I said that a man could entice you with his words of wisdom. He could also make a lot of money with his words of wisdom. Look in Ezekiel chapter 28, verses 4 and 5. Just because he's successful doesn't mean that he's right, and just because he's rich doesn't mean that he's right. Because if his success and if his wealth measured his righteousness, then the devil would be right, and the devil would be righteous. Look in Ezekiel chapter 28, verses 4 and 5. These are words concerning the devil. With thy wisdom, as contrasted to God's wisdom, with thy wisdom and with thine understanding, thou hast gotten thee riches, and hast gotten gold and silver into thy treasures. By thy great wisdom and by thy traffic hast thou increased thy riches, and thine heart is lifted up because of thy riches. You know what will happen if a man gets wealthy with his own wisdom and has words to describe his own wisdom as apart from God's wisdom? You know what he's going to do? He's going to miss the wisdom of God, because the wisdom of God goes before and beyond the wisdom that is in this earth. You cannot find the wisdom of God with the Hubble telescope. You cannot find the wisdom of God with a spaceship. You cannot find the wisdom of God with genetic research. You cannot find the wisdom of God by an examination of DNA or any other matters of scientific approach. Now, can these scientific methods be helpful? Yes. Can these scientific methods produce wisdom in the earth? Absolutely. But if you're a student, for instance, and getting ready to go to college, and you hope to be able to get into aerospace engineering or physics or medicine, if you go and neglect the words of God in the process of your study, you will come away wise and you will come away wealthy perhaps, but you will miss the wisdom of God. And you'll see by the end of this message, that is a desperately devastating mistake. And the reason is, all of these methods that you will be taught, and all of these methods that you have been taught if you're already out of school, involve examining what's already here and coming to conclusions about how we got here without God. This is a very godless education system that we have now, for the most part. Now, please understand something. There are numerous Christian professors, and they are teaching subjects that involve man's wisdom. But they don't limit themselves to that, and they do not deny the existence of God, nor do they deny the wisdom of God that predates the existence of this universe. I know several of them personally, and I consider them to be very honorable citizens. They're in honorable professions in their teaching, but they do not use their science to contradict the words of God. They do not use their science to overthrow the wisdom of God. They know the limitations of their science, and they are not exercising science falsely so-called to oppose God. Those are good folks. Where is wisdom? But they also recognize that they can only teach you as much wisdom as the limitations of their science or their education. The wisdom of God goes beyond their understanding. All right, the second thing about wisdom that we notice from the text is that when you are looking for wisdom, wisdom is involved in the creation of the universe. In other words, the wisdom of God is absolutely mutually exclusive, that's a big phrase, to the theory of evolution. In other words, we did not evolve. We were brought here into existence by God Almighty, and any theories of evolution that are used to advance science are absolutely contrary to the wisdom of God, because the wisdom of God is involved in the creation of the universe. The very existence that is studied by evolutionists is here by virtue of the fact that these things were created, not by virtue of the fact that they have eternally existed and evolved. Look at verses 27 to 31. Wisdom says, when he prepared the heavens, that doesn't sound like evolution. I was there. When he set a compass upon the face of the depth, when he established the clouds above, when he strengthened the fountains of the deep, when he gave to the sea his decree that the waters should not pass his commandment, when he appointed the foundations of the earth, then I was by him as one brought up with him. I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him, rejoicing in the habitable part of the earth, and my delights were with the sons of men. Wisdom is available for your understanding and mine, but not if you're going to reject the truths of God. Any scientific or philosophic theory that accounts for the existence of the universe and man by any other means than divine creation is foolishness and not wisdom. Now look how Paul attacks this saying in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 19 to 21. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 19 to 21, Paul said, "For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise." So God admits there's some wisdom there, but he's going to destroy it because it excludes him and it excludes his wisdom. I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Now what does he accomplish with this? Look in verse 26 of the same chapter. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of the world, and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. Now there you go. God made the heavens by wisdom. There are so many verses concerning the creation of the universe, but I want to show you just two passages of Scripture, the first one being Psalm 136. Because I want you to see in this the association of the words of God with creation. Okay, the words of God associated with creation. Psalm 136, verse 5. The Bible says, to him, speaking of God, to him that by wisdom made the heavens, to him that by wisdom made the heavens, for his mercy endureth forever. All right, how did the heavens come into existence? They came into existence by wisdom. Now look in Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 12. Jeremiah chapter 10, and look at verse 12. Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 12, look at this. He hath made the earth by his power. That's not evolution. He hath established the world by his wisdom, and hath stretched out the heavens by his discretion. He made it. Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 13. When he uttereth his voice, there is a multitude of waters in the heavens, and he causeth the vapors to ascend from the ends of the earth. He maketh lightnings with rain, and bringeth forth the wind out of his treasure. When does all this happen? When he uttereth his voice. Now, when you go back to Genesis chapter 1 and look at creation in the Bible, God said, let there be light, and there was light. God said, let us make a firmament in the midst of the waters, and there was a firmament. In other words, God spoke the universe into existence. You keep reading in here, God said, let there be a firmament, and when he said it, there it was. God said, let the waters be, and when he said it, that's what happened. God said, let the earth bring forth grass, and when he said it, that's what happened. God said, let there be lights in the firmament of heaven, and when he spoke it all into existence. In other words, the wisdom of God is connected to his words, to his voice, to the things that he has said. You know now where that's leading. It's leading to this book that I have on the table that we are preaching from today when you're hearing about wisdom. We are preaching from the words of God, and while we are doing it, we are learning about the existence of wisdom and where to find it. So, the third thing to notice when you are looking for wisdom is that wisdom comes from God and can be found in the words of God. Look what he says in verse 32 of Proverbs 8. Now therefore, hearken unto me. Well, where are you going to hearken unto God? He's not speaking audibly to you right now. But you can open the Bible, or you can listen to the words of the Bible that I'm reading and hear wisdom, O ye children. For blessed are they that keep my ways. Hear instruction. Well, instruction involves words, and if you're going to hear those words, they have to be words that are spoken. And I'm speaking the words to you right now. I'm reading Proverbs chapter 8, verse 33. Hear instruction and be wise and refuse it not. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. For whoso findeth me findeth life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord. But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul, and all they that hate me love death. So the third thing to notice about wisdom is that wisdom comes from God and can be found in the words of God. If you read through the Bible, you're going to find many passages like the ones I'm going to read to you now. And I'm not even going to read all of them that are listed in the notes that I've prepared for this particular broadcast, but I'll give you some. Look, for instance, in Deuteronomy chapter 4. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verses 5 and 6. Now watch it. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verses 5 and 6, and see if you can pick up on the association between the words of God, okay, and life and wisdom. Watch it. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 5. Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, words of God, even as the Lord my God commanded me, that you should do so in the land whither you go to possess it. Keep therefore and do them. For this is your wisdom. How about that? Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, James said. This is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. Wisdom's connected with the words of God. Look in Proverbs chapter 2, verse 6, a passage that we recently studied. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 6, for the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. You know where the words of this book came from? The mouth of God. We were in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 a minute ago. We'll go back to 1 Corinthians and look at chapter 2, and I'll show you verse 13. Because this is going to lead to the next passage. I've got other scriptures that are written here, but I also have a limitation on time. So we'll just do this verse here, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 13. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. All right, there are words which man's wisdom teaches, and Paul says, we're not going to teach you with those. We're not going to speak those words. We're going to speak words which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. We call that cross-referencing Scripture with Scripture. In other words, to obtain the kind of wisdom that we're talking about in Proverbs chapter 8, you must rely upon the Spirit of God, because wisdom is connected with the Spirit of God. The Holy Ghost teacheth. When you look up the word wisdom in the Bible, the first time you find its occurrence is in Exodus chapter 28, verse 3, and the wisdom that is demonstrated by the man in Exodus chapter 28, verse 3, is wisdom that comes directly from the Spirit of God. Look what he says, Exodus chapter 28, verse 3, thou shalt speak unto all that are wise-hearted, whom I have filled with the Spirit of wisdom. Look what he said, I have filled with the Spirit of wisdom. Look in Exodus chapter 31, verse 3. Same thing. Exodus chapter 31, verse 3. Look what he says. I have filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom and in understanding and in knowledge and in all matter of workmanship. The understanding, the wisdom of God comes from his words and is given to you by the Spirit of God, because wisdom comes from God. He puts it in you. Remember what happened to Solomon when he finally got to the throne and he sacrificed all those sacrifices and the Lord God came to him and said, Solomon, what do you want me to give you? And he says, I need wisdom. I need wisdom and understanding for this great people. And God gave it to him. 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 28, the Bible says, all Israel heard of the judgment which the king had judged, and they feared the king, for they saw that the wisdom of God was in him to do judgment. It came from God. So if you want it, if you want wisdom, you've got to get it from the Lord, and the place to begin when you're going to get it from the Lord is to fear God. Job 28:28 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And Psalm 111 verse 10 says the same thing. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Now the fear of the Lord says, I am not going to advance a theory that I know is wrong, like evolution. I'm going to fear God and accept the fact that he created this universe, and I'm going to look to the wisdom of God and his words, and as I fear him, I realize that I could make drastic mistakes about what I'm reading, so I'm going to rely upon his Holy Spirit to teach me and not some scholar or not my own wisdom. And the great thing about it is eternal life is connected with those words of God as you examine them. The Bible says in verse 35 of Proverbs chapter 8, whoso findeth me findeth life. And you do. You do. Life is connected with the words of God. I realize the Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. But if you want to have life, search the scriptures. For in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me, Jesus Christ told his the Pharisees that he was talking to that day. But be warned, rejecting the words of God and hating them ends in death and is a sin against your own soul and involves eternal damnation. So where is wisdom? Well, it was here before the universe was. It was here when God created the universe. And if you want to find it, you'll find it upon your knees in the fear of the Lord when you read these scriptures and believe what you're reading. And there's life connected with that if you'll search it out.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my, the number three, bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Ranmorgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.